One, on behalf of Lemon Bay Chicken GST Exempt Trust, FBO Brenton Park.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This was it's a change of zone application from AR1 to B1 for a portion of a property located on Bayard Road and Double Bridges Road. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on December 21st of last year, and the County Council held a public hearing on January 30th of this year. At that meeting, you did defer action for further consideration.
Any questions of council? Okay, Mr. Moore, will you read the short title?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a B1 neighborhood business district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 5.29 acres more or less, for the reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 9.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlette.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlette.
Yep, this is an area that's not too far from where I live, and it is certainly a crossroads in the back roads, if you would, in this area. And there have been a lot of residential improvements approved, I should say, as we talked about during the public hearing, that are being built. I do think, based on testimony from Planning and Zoning Commission, that if there is something that's built there, it would soften the blow to the traffic for the 26 corridor and the 54 corridor, which I actually do believe that to be the case. However, this is a change of zone, and which means that a change of zone, we are approving something forever. And though we had testimony for a garden center, if I'm not mistaken, correct? I'm not necessarily against a garden center in general of that area, but this application was not a conditional use. It was a change of zone, and there are many things that could get built in a B1 zoning which would forever change this area. And I think we've not chimed in, and to the testimony of the applicant, if I'm not mistaken, he said that he would be the first, and that he said that somebody has to be first. Well, I would agree with that, but I would have liked to have seen a conditional use specific to what he was seeking versus just the change of zone. I think in this area, we're not ready for a B1. We did approve right around the corner on Route 20 a B1 application, on that same day. That is a better spot because of the other B1 and commercial zones in that area. So based on the presentation, based on all the facts, based on all the information that we have at our disposal, I'm going to go against the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission, because this is not just a land use piece. This is something more than just that. So I'm going to encourage the applicant to consider coming back as a conditional use, and therefore he can be specific about what he's going to get built and be held accountable to what he's going to get built versus just the generic B1 at this location. So for that reason, I'm going to be voting no.
Mr. Burton.
I kind of agree with Rob on that. While the Planning and Zoning Commission recommend approval of this change of zone, I do not feel it is appropriate for B1 zoning for the following reasons. There are no other commercial uses of any kind in the area. B1 is too intensive a zoning for the area. B1 usually creates an increase in traffic. I am not satisfied that the existing roads are adequate to accommodate the B1 zoning and the permitted uses in the district. The surrounding properties to the north, south, east, and west are zoned AR1. There are no other conditional uses in the area. B1 zoning is not consistent with the surrounding AR1 zoning and uses. The change of zone to B1 will create a precedent for future B1 zoning applications and approvals in the areas, which will lead to a change in the area's rural and residential characteristics. The proposed zoning is more conducive to a conditional use rather than a change of zone. Although the uses allowed under B1 are speculative, the applicant seems to have a specific plan for the property that is less intense than many of the permitted uses allowed under the B1 zoning. Such a conditional use would allow the county to have more control over the future development of this site in a way that's consistent with the surrounding roadways and properties. By approving such a limited conditional use, the county avoids the possibility of setting a precedence that could lead to other properties being developed with more intensive B1 or CR1 zoning. For these reasons, I vote no. I would rather see this application for a conditional use. If this application fails, I would recommend that the council consider waiving the application fee and providing expedited review for the application.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Wilson.
I vote no.
Same reasons?
For the same reasons as?
For same reasons.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Cole.
I actually, the memorandum for our planning zoning director, her last sentence, it says it may not be considered consistent with surrounding zoning and uses. I agree with that. I do not agree with the planning and zoning's assertion that this is an appropriate location for B1 zoning. I do agree with P&Z when they said there's more traffic in the area, but that can be said, and that's true for all of southeastern Sussex County, so it's not just to this area. So it's you've got roadways there that do not have any shoulders. The intersection is not up to any current kind of safety standards. And I believe there's no improvements planned for this area. As I looked at their maps that the applicant actually supported their presentation with, they had some strategies for spending and they had a map for future land use plans and things. And in my reading of it, it appeared that this site was outside of all these designated areas and outside the growth areas, just outside, but it's outside. 5 acres is it would set a precedent. I think there was a letter of opposition that referenced that, and I agree with that. It creates a new commercial district where there's never been one, and there's never been a history of one in that area. I think this application would be better suited for as a conditional use, where the conditional uses have historically come into areas where there's not been any commercial activity. And as a first step, and coming in with a conditional use, and then if you see trends over the next, 10, 20 years of more conditional uses and stuff, you all of a sudden see a switch over to, more of the change of zones as opposed to conditional uses. So I would support, I think, a conditional use application, and not saying I would approve a conditional use application, but I think this is more suitable for a conditional use application at this time. And rezonings do not permit any conditions to be put on site. Site can be sold, so everything we heard about these conceptual things, 5-10 years down the road, you could see any of the uses that are permitted in a B1 district be available to be put on that site as a permitted use. So therefore, I am not comfortable with supporting this change of zone. So my vote's no.
Thank you, sir. I also agree with what's been stated by Councilman Arlett, Councilman Burton, Councilman Wilson, and Councilman Cole. I don't think this is a proper location for a B1 zoning. It does open up a whole area that's not before been ever agriculture. And it doesn't make any sense to me, so I'm going to vote no. Change of zone number 1841 is denied. Next.
The next is an ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County to address special events. Staff would note that the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on October 26 of last year. County Council held a public hearing on January 16th of this year. The Council deferred action and left the record open for 30 days for submission of written comments. Staff has received 6 comments since that time frame. They have all been sent to the County Council for your consideration.
Any questions of council?
The University of Delaware study for economic development that was
not submitted.
So we held the record open for that. It was proffered that it would come in immediately, and we didn't see it in 30 days?
It was not submitted to the Planning and Zoning Office.
And there was also a proffer made of some kind of noise study
We have not received that. That did not come in within the 30-day time frame.
That surprises me. So, thank you.
Do we have copies of...
I didn't get a chance to hear them.
I'm sorry, Mr. Wilson.
I said there's probably too many cars go by. They didn't get a chance to hear them.
Mr. Arlett,
hear the extra noise.
Do we? And maybe I missed it, but do we have copies? Whatever has been presented in the last 30 days, do we have that?
Yes, they were all submitted through email, and they were all forwarded to County Council as they were submitted.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Anything else from council?
No, it's just, now we've closed the record, right?
Yes.
Closing the record.
That's just what we've received and closed the record.
That's all we're doing.
Well, wait a minute. Okay.
Mr. Burton.
I got one other thing. This is the discussion period, and then we're going to close the record after that. There was a lot of testimony about moose lodges, VFWs, fire halls, et cetera. This question really directed to Mr. Robertson. Do you feel that the county ordinance code for the special events could be written in such a way that the concerns that were given at the public hearing could be addressed with those groups being unaffected by the new code?
So we went through that in the public hearing. I believe it addresses that currently, but certainly it can be clarified so that there's no uncertainty.
So what they have been able to do in the past, they will be able to do in the future, and this change of zone, this change of ordinance would not affect them.
That's correct.
And there was concern with Atlantic Lacrosse, and our code already deals with athletic events in AR1 land.
That's also correct. And it's not just limited to Atlantic Lacrosse. The way the county has looked at that, and I don't have the specific citation, but in the AR1 land, it lists permitted uses, and it talks about recreational groups where there's membership involved, and that's how those organizations have been allowed to operate as a permitted use, and that's not affected by this ordinance.
So the hyperbole of the Atlantic Lacrosse being affected, there would be two things that would affect it. It would be Atlantic Lacrosse not wanting to play there anymore, or the Hudson's change in the agreement. It wouldn't be this zone.
No,
it wouldn't
correct.
Be this
yes,
ordinance.
That's
so that's gone. So the volunteer groups are gone. The fire, we're addressing all the concerns that we had. And what about family gatherings? Would we be able to have a family gathering?
This doesn't regulate family gatherings. That's a normal and typical use on a property, and that's what's the way the code's always worded, and that's the way this is worded as well.
So we got the volunteer groups. We got the Atlantic Lacrosse. We have the family gatherings. I mean, we're just down to how many events are special?
Will be able to play horseshoes?
Yeah, you know, what constitutes like a special horse. Event? That's what we're down to. Because you feel that you can write, clean ordinance up to where the concerned citizens with the various groups that we heard about with the volunteer groups will not be affected.
That's correct.
With every legislation, you know, ordinances and stuff you get from Dover and everything else, they have a synopsis. Mm-hmm. Is that an official part of these documents, or what is a synopsis? Do we have one at the end of this?
We do.
And can the synopsis be a way to clarify certain things, like another just exactly what he brought up about the social halls and things of that nature, and clarify maybe, put a definition there? I mean, is there some usefulness about a synopsis?
The synopsis does not have the same force of law as the ordinance does, and Mr. Moore, if you want to chime in on this as well, it's designed to give more clarity. The legislative history and legislative intent, and that's certainly something that we could look at based on the way this discussion has evolved through the various public hearings.
Right, it would just reinforce everything else we've said, and is that okay, Everett, can a synopsis include some of this clarifying?
The synopsis could include that, but I think really what Mr. Burton was kind of going to, can we have some amendments that would be voted on at the time you vote on the ordinance itself, amend that first to make sure it's perfectly clear, and he could have a synopsis on those amendments, just like you do oftentimes. You'll make amendments on conditions on votes that we have on zoning. We can amend that, vote on the amendments, then vote on the ordinance as amended.
And if a person has a wedding in their backyard and brings in a tent, that's not a special event except for that couple getting married, right?
Special to them, yeah.
That wouldn't fall under this umbrella, right? Okay.
Anything else from council?
Just to reaffirm what Ms. Burton and Mr. Cole just stated, because I do recall back in the public hearing that there were certainly a lot of input
to the negative, and I think there's question marks about the language and some suggestions and recommendations to clarify the ordinance. So, I mean, have you changed the ordinance to date, or you've waited till the end of the public hearing, or the public record being closed, and then you'll come?
Yes.
Okay, just
wanted to see what the public would come back with, because that could have affected recommendations. Well, and obviously, and hear what your advice to us is, or your direction to us is.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else from council? Lawson.
Yes, sir, thank you. I guess we would also ask council if there are concerns that you heard at the public record or have read since you've received information from the past 30 days specific to issues you'd like to make sure that are addressed. Looking for direction from you. I know special event as it pertains to an actual number has been discussed. If there's any direction you can give staff before we come back again to start hammering through this word by word, we would appreciate that.
Okay. Well, I am still concerned, Mr. President, about I don't think all events, special events, are the same. I think that you have, as I reference back to some application I saw, I think we need an application. It spells out all these things. So when somebody calls up, a neighbor says, I hear such and such, it probably should be posted somehow. How does anybody know that there's going to be maybe 3,000 or 4,000 people in 3 days in a property, on their street or around their corner? So I think notice, somehow we should do notice. I don't know if it's just put it on our website or something. And the size of these things, I think there should be if you're having 1 to 200 or 50 to whatever a number, and then over that number, there should be other maybe requirements of it. I just can't see that one size fits all for these special events, especially when it comes to the type of concerts. Certain concerts, depending on who the performer is, attracts different types of crowds, different types of people, and numbers of people, so because of the popularity of them. So I still think there's, application, size, and...
Sometimes all volunteers, George.
I don't, we're not getting into that. We're not determining if somebody's volunteering or getting paid.
I mean, sometimes these parties are put on at large numbers, and they may...
I understand.
They may just be...
But I think we ought to have a record. If there's going to be an event down the road from my house, wherever I live, is there going to be liquor served? Are there going to be the food trucks in there? Are there going to be all this? Are there going to be adequate number of restrooms? Are these people going to be traipsing across my property to get, to park their cars and do other things? Is there adequate shoulders? And a number of things. And I just think that we need to know if the state police are going to be involved. Is there going to, all these things, so that I, as a neighbor, say, what? Sounds like it's pretty well under control. Here are the facts. And then we have something to fall back on if they didn't do it, if they didn't have this or that. I just still think there's some, I hate to say it, we need to have more information from the people doing it, and then we should address different types of activities differently, maybe.
So we can.
I don't mean to rewrite the whole thing, but I'm just saying that something should trigger, a certain size should trigger.
We can certainly, we have an application now. I think one of the things that we heard in the public hearing was also some confusion between departments within the county, which we're going to fix and improve. We can tweak or readjust or even redraft a new application that addresses some of these issues. I'd want to make sure we have council support on all of the topics that you all are bringing up, at least three members agreeing to that. And we can bring that back to you to review and go over. I know that some jurisdictions have a minimum requirement for an application, for example, 24 hours, 5 days, 7 days, 14, 21 days. Maybe that's something you'd like to see.
Well, obviously, it should be. I hate to have somebody call up Monday and say, I'm going to have a special event Saturday.
Well, quite honestly, Mr. Cole, that's what's happening.
Well, it is. I know that. But I don't think that's that special. I just think that's a spur-of-the-moment type of thing, and it's not well thought out. So, again, as the county grows and we have more and more traffic and more people, I hate to say it, you have to have more and more rules. So a simple application I can understand for a small number of people, very simple,
mm-hmm.
But if you're going to have a concert and you, or if you're going to have, I don't know, thousands of people, your expectation is thousands of people, thousands of cars, noise and all that, and liquor and food and hours of operation. There ought to be a limit that we allow a special event, which is basically doing some kind of commercial activity, you know, in a residential area.
Okay.
That we ought to be concerned, number one, about the people who call that their home. That's where they live. And we ought to, if we have to, you know, weigh on one side of this argument, we ought to be weighing in on the people who call that their home, especially if they've designated this site to be a continuing, you know, activity. And the other thing is, if this organization has, it should be site-specific, not the organization, but site-specific, because if you take a piece of ground and this group uses it for 3 days, this group uses it for 3 days, this, you know, all of a sudden it's used 24, you know, 7 days a week. So that ought to be also in there somewhere.
You have that written in.
Yeah, no, right, and we've considered that already.
Okay,
so
good.
It couldn't be manipulated.
Okay.
Just anything else from council?
Just two thoughts, Mr. President, and just very quickly, and I would concur and agree with Mr. Cole. I think just the transparency. I think community is just decency and courtesy. You know what I mean? Whenever there is a special permit issued, I think it would make sense to post it up on the website so whomever can see it. Yeah. I think that's just common decency, if you would. And true transparency in what we do. That's number one. Number two, I think the biggest feedback that I recall from all of the testimony, both at the planning, zoning, and here at the public hearing, is the majority of the events I think that are being conducted here in this county, special events as historically context, are predominantly done by nonprofits. And I think most would fall under that category. I don't have the actual information, but maybe you could tell me otherwise. But I think in general, I think that's kind of the mindset, I think, of the community is if we clamp down on what we've done in the past, we're clamping down on opportunities for these organizations to continue to do good for this community. And I think that's the fear, the biggest fear of the community, is that's what's happening. So as we move forward with the adjusting of the ordinance, let's keep that in mind. I'm not sure how we massage through that, but I think that is of concern for me too, is that this is a community that has a big heart, and this community does care for one another, and I think that's why we see what we see with special events and various organizations doing very good. And I think the fear is, especially, you know, in the state and the dollars continue to get tighter and tighter, you know, it takes 20% away from grants and various organizations, and if this is getting reduced even further, I think that is the concern and the fear of many, which is our testimony that we heard. So I just would be heating in our conscientious about this and about that. That's all.
Cole, one last quick comment. Any cost, I think there should be something there about, we may not do it initially, but any cost associated with possibly posting, like we just talked about, maybe posting or advertising, or if there's in the future some inspections, what any costs associated with that special event should be borne by the special event, not by the county. Okay, so there should be any something to do with cost, because always there seems to be a cost associated with it somewhere.
Mr. Wilson.
Grandfather. What's grandfather got to do with this? Can we leave it like it is, grandfathers?
You know, I don't think that really grandfathering applies to this, because in the past, if it was permitted, that's a one-off permit. That's not a continuing right to do something. So I don't really see that grandfathering plays a big role in this at all. So
that's where I think it should stay.
Anything else from council?
To kind of piggyback off of George's comments of really kind of a check sheet is really kind of, I agree with that. And I'm actually looking at the Hudson Fields website, and it says they require a $500,000 liability insurance. They require 60 days prior notice. They want the name of the group, the contact person, the date of the event, and optional dates, the type of events, and the anticipated number of people. So, I mean, sounds to me like there's why shouldn't we have a check sheet?
All right.
Right. You know, so I agree with that, and here's proof that it's a pretty good idea.
Anything else from council? Last call.
I understand that's
Mr.
all.
Wilson.
I understand what Mr. Hutchins is doing is all volunteer work. He doesn't take any of that money for himself.
We're just saying we can't officiate or legislate or inspect or whatever when it comes to if this guy's a volunteer, that we don't have the enforcement to go look and check and ask everybody what they do. It shouldn't matter at all. What we should be concerned about, it's a special event. They got 3 days, and this is it on this site.
Why should we?
I don't care who does it.
We tried to put your nose under the tent, George.
No, but no. Why should we care? In other words, you're Mr. No Regulations. Why should we care who's doing it? Well, they get the permit, go do it. Have fun, make money.
If they've been doing this,
provide us something,
George. If they've been doing this for years, why we got our nose in their business to start with?
You're back to grandfather. We just said we just had that conversation.
That's just what I was just saying here, grandfather.
We're not. There's no grandfathering here.
I think that's what our attorney said here.
That's not what I said. I said really grandfathering doesn't apply.
Doesn't apply.
In this case.
You said grandfather does
not apply.
Does not apply. In other words, we're gonna control. We're gonna start all over new, right? Forget the grandfather.
No, there's no grandfathering, Sam.
Mr. President.
What? Mr. Arlett.
To close a summary, the question is procedurally, what are the next steps? I guess is my question.
So,
because there's changes coming to the ordinance, so that, therefore my question is, what are the next steps?
Well, we've heard from you all, and it'll be put back on a future agenda as old business again. Right. So then we'll present it and talk to you about the changes, and you can consider those and vote on them, or you know.
When you provide the changes, can you make sure they're red and they're just different than the
yeah,
just to make sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else from council?
Did we actually vote to close the
no,
record?
No, we have not.
No. Yeah, that's
why everybody's step. Getting to talk. Yeah. That's why I've asked six times, Mr. Lawson.
I have noticed.
Next step.
Any more things from
very
council?
Tolerant man.
I think you've heard enough from us. Probably, you know what the gist of what we want to do is. I think if we even know we want to do this one time. Okay, we need a motion to close the public record.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes. Thank you very much. Public records closed. And your next step will be to go back and you've heard what the council had to say.
Yes.
And make some, what are you going to make? Amendments or how are you going to do it? And then come back to us at old business and we'll deal with it.
Yep. We will do that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank both of you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mrs. Jennings. Grant requests.
Good morning, Mr. President. The first grant request is the Friends of Georgetown Public Library. They are requesting $500 to support their library programs and operational costs. The Friends support the library's ebook collection and tablets with educational testing materials. Last grant received was $300 from Mr. Wilson.
Scott Hurl.
Uh-oh.
Chip recommend no more than $300.
So you want to okay. Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Chip, leave that girl alone.
Did we just have to buy a new camera?
Okay. Motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Burton to grant $300 from Mr. Wilson's council bank account to the Friends of Georgetown Public Library.
Do it. And that's Mr.
Questions on the motion? We will take the vote.
Mike will throw in $200 more.
I didn't hear anybody say that, so.
Mike's out of money.
We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
All right, the next one is the Cape and Lebanon Senior Center is requesting $1,350 to support the Rehoboth Concert Band fundraiser. Funds from this event will support programs offered to their members. Last council grant was $650 from Mr. Cole.
So moved. I'll do the $1,300.
$1,300. Okay. Motion, Mr. Cole. Do I have a second?
Yes.
Second, Mr. Wilson. To grant $1,300 at Cape and Lebanon Senior Center for Rehoboth Concert Band or fundraiser for Mr. Coleman's council bank account.
Did they all get a permit?
I don't know. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burke.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Right. Next one is the Greater Millsboro Chamber of Commerce is requesting $3,000 to support their second annual Stars and Stripes event. This public event is held the Saturday before 4th of July. Last council grant received was $1,000 from Mr. Arlett.
I would move that I do $1,500.
Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second, Mr. Wilson, to grant $1,500 from Mr. Arlette's Council Mag account to the Greater Millsboro Chamber of Commerce for the annual Stars and Stripes event. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next.
John M. Clayton Elementary School is requesting $2,500 for their student mentoring program. This program provides academic support to targeted students attending its elementary school. This year, they have 70 students enrolled in their program. Last council grant received was $2,000, which was $500 for Mr. Cole and $1,500 for Mr. Arlette.
And the request is $2,500, correct?
Correct?
Yeah, actually, I would love to. If you want to do another 500, I want to make sure that they get the full 2,500. So I'm not sure how much it, that's what the request is. And this one here, it's 2,500.
It's the request is 2,500. Last year was 2,000.
Right. Paid. So how much you want to contribute? Want to do 1,000? I'll do 15.
I just hate to, for just 70, do 750.
$750. Hard bargainer over here.
No,
$750, and I'll do the remainder.
You got a lot of requests for funding.
So the motion, Mr. Arlette, second Mr. Cole, would be for $2,500, being $1,750 Mr. Arlette's account, $750 Mr. Cole's account, yeah, to the John M. Clayton Elementary School for student mentoring program. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlette.
I just want, just a comment. No, it's just a comment. And this is, I think, exactly why the council matter grants, because this goes directly to these kids and helps them to read. And I think it's very, very impactful. And the state does not provide the dollars and the resources for the adults that are involved in this program. So that's why we totally support this. I think it's the best that we can do to give these resources to these kids and those who do this program, because it is a tremendous program. So absolutely yes. And I want to thank them publicly.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Last one.
All right. Cape and Logan School District is requesting $500 for their Cape for Tomorrow Club. This club will be sending a student to the George Mason University to attend a conference in environmental science and conservation. There have been no past grants for this event. Mr. Burton placed on the agenda.
I'm very familiar with this young lady, and I think I would like to grant $500 out of my councilmatic grant to send her to the summit.
Motion, Mr. Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions? Motion is to grant $500 Mr. Burton's account to the Cape Elizabeth School District for youth summit expenses. We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Moore. Any yes. proposed zoning ordinances?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. There are three. The first one is in Mr. Burton's district, an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for professional offices to be located on certain parcels of land lying being in Lewis Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 0.3443 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Burton, introduce it.
The next one is also in Mr. Burton's district, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a medical office to be located on certain parcels of land lying being in Lewis Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 0.918 acre, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Burton, introduce it.
And the last one also is in Mr. Burton's district, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for professional offices to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 0.5739 acre, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Burton, introduce it.
That's all.
Council member comments. Council member comments.
With that introduction, we're just completely.
Mr. Wilson.
With those introductions about how much they have given away, that's farmland we're talking about, and we're just chipping off the old block. And I'm glad to hear somebody say, I'm sorry to hear somebody say this morning, those addresses, and say we do nothing for us, for the county. Here we are, look at the money we give out and help these people with.
Thank you.
So I think they kind of missed the boat. They're being here listening when we're talking about how help support these people.
Any more council or comments?
Mr. President.
More comments.
Just a couple, as we've got a lunch appointment. First and foremost, thoughts and prayers go to the Greenwood Fire Hall, as they've lost one of their own this week. And number two, of course, is continued thoughts and prayers for the community down in Florida. And appreciate what our resource officers and what our school districts do to keep our kids protected, and I think it's important to publicly acknowledge that. And lastly, Mike, you will love the fact that I will congratulate Army as they beat Navy in the wrestling duel last Friday in the triple overtime. It was a great duel match as it relates to wrestling fans. So I want to congratulate publicly Army as they beat Navy in triple overtime. That's all, Mr.
So
President.
So what you're saying is the best team won?
That night, yes.
Any more council member comments?
Mr. President, no. I have an announcement for the good of the order, maybe. Just been made aware that the change of zone number 1770, applicant's name TD Rehoboth LLC, there was an issue with the legal advertisement for the scheduled hearing purported to be next week, 10:15 a.m. The issue with the legal advertisement is going to require the county to re-advertise and reschedule that public hearing for a future date. So we will look at our schedules and figure out when that can be, but it will not be next Tuesday.
Thank you, sir.
I announced that on the radio.
You're always ahead of things, George.
You're going to think it's fake news.
Any more council member comments? We entertain a motion to recess until 1:30 public hearings.
So moved.
Motion, second. Cole, second. Second. Mr. Wilson, take the vote. Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now in recess until 1:30, and we're going to go have lunch at the Cheer Center.
That's all right.